We're holding Rosh Hashanah Chaf Vav Amud Beis by the Mishnah, and I want to go back to Chaf Hei Amud Beis, the second to last Rashi. We had discussed this Rashi Shera'u Balayla, that if the court saw it at night, Hilkach Lemachar Ilav Shmiya Al Maya Kachu. What should their kiddush go on? And then we asked, is there a kiddush that's connected to the testimony? When I discussed this with Rabbi Yort, so he said that the way he understands Rashi is that if the Beis Din saw it at night, then their seeing it cannot be stronger than hearing testimony, right? We say testimony isn't stronger than seeing it. But seeing it is not more than testimony. It has the same criterion. Now, if they couldn't accept testimony at night, because testimony at night isn't kosher, then they can't either do the Kiddush HaChodesh based upon their Re'iyah at night, because what they saw at night is no stronger than the testimony they would have received at that time. Now the next morning, you want to be Mekadosh the Chodesh based on what? So you want to be Mekadosh it based on what they saw yesterday. So if they give over testimony now by day, you could do that. But if you're going to just do it based on what they saw last night, so that you can't do. If they would be able to be Mekadosh it on the spot, so that, yeah. But if it's based on the Re'iyah, so then the Re'iyah, the reason I can't do the Re'iyah is because the Re'iyah was at night. We said that when they saw it on the spot, they could be Mekadosh it because it's Chal on what they saw. He said, no, the idea is, being that testimony isn't accepted at night, neither is Re'iyah of the night. Now the next morning, you don't have anything the next morning. That's how he explained it.
He's saying that the Re'iyah of the night is in itself the same thing as testimony.
Right.
But testimony, you could do it or at night. I mean, you can't do it at night, but you could do it the following day. So why can't you do this Re'iyah the following day?
Right. So there you say, I don't have anything. I'm going based on what I remember I saw, but when I saw it was at night. Look, I'm not sure that his pshat...
It's that same, isn't that like saying that you can't... can't testify about something that you saw at night?
Oh, so that's the point. You're saying you could testify, so then why can't you go based on what you saw? Right. Okay. So that's why I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I like yours a lot more. Your chiddush is well-grounded. It's very...
I don't know. Okay, I don't know.
Clear.
Back to our Mishnah. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. Ran Chaf Vav Amud Beis. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Yael Pashut. Okay, I don't know how you translate the word Yael Steinbock. Okay, now we know what it is.
Wild ox, a wild goat.
I don't know. So you take Steinbock, that's Pashut. That's not so twirly. Pashut means straight. Upiv mitzupe zahav, and they would coat the mouthpiece with gold, not where you put your lips, but beyond where you put your lips. That edge of the shofar in the base of Migdash was coated with gold. V'shtei chatzotzrot min hatzdadim, and you'd have two trumpets on the side. Shofar ma'arich, the guy with the shofar in the middle, he extends his blasts. Meaning his tkios would extend beyond the blasts of the chatzotzrot. The chatzotzrot, mikatzrot. And the trumpets, well, they shorten their blasts. Shemitzvat ayom b'shofar. Because today's mitzvah is with the shofar, and they are the accompaniment. Uvetaniyot. And on the tanis, on the fast days, that the kohanim would blow their trumpets. So then we would blow b'shel zcharim kfufim. You'd use the male rams that ordinarily are all twisted, their horns, they're circular. Upian mitzupe kesef, and those shofros, their mouthpieces were coated with silver. B'shtei chatzotzrot be'emtza antanis, you'd have the two trumpets in the middle. Shofar mekatzer, the shofar on the outside, he would shorten his blast. The chatzotzot marichot, and the trumpets would extend their blast. Shemitzvat Hayom HaChatzotzrot, because the mitzvah of Atanis is the blowing of the Chatzotzros, because the Chatzotzros, their purpose was to gather everyone together. Atanis is called a Tzom. The idea of a Tzom is Tzomit, an intersection. Tzom is the unification. Tzom is the idea is everyone getting together. So that's why the Chatzotzros are the prime blowers on the fast day, because the prime essence of the fast day is that Am Yisrael gets reunified, which deserves some thought, because that means that sometimes in order to get together, we gotta get rid of our steaks and our I don't know what are the fancy cars today. I don't know what everyone's driving anymore. Money is divisive.
Time to go put these things aside. The
okay.
The poor and the rich, the hungry and the thirsty. Time to get.
Okay. Right here. Yovel and Rosh Hashanah have a common denominator that you blow shofar the same way, even though the tkios of Yovel are not part of the prayer and they're not part of the zikaron like on Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, you blow as part of the tefillah. You blow as a commemoration of the Akedah, of the Zichronot, but the Yovel blasts are to set the slaves free. That's all idea. Yovel. You blow Yovel or is in ram's horn. You blow that, and that's a sign. The slaves go free. The fields go back to their original owner. We will see. The Gemara later on tells us there's a Gzera Shava. It says Shvi'i, Shvi'i. So in the last chapter, the Gemara is going to say, we derive that all the blasts of the 7th month are equal. All the shofar blowing. And that equates the shofar blowing of Yom Kippur of Yovel with all the Rosh Hashanahs of all the years.
Equating what sense?
That you use the same type of shofar. Mm-hmm. We're going to see that where does it say Taviru Shofar Bechol Artzichem? And Yovel, doesn't say it about Rosh Hashanah. So how do you learn from the shofar, the word shofar in Yovel, to the blowing of Utkatem Tu'ah of Yom Tu'ah Yelachem of Rosh Hashanah? So we say, there's an equation. But technically the details of the shofar are really written by Yovel, not by Rosh Hashanah. So we have Gzira Shava that teaches us Yovel and Rosh Hashanah, you use the same shofar. V'librachot, that just like on Rosh Hashanah you have to say Malchuyot, Zichonot, Shofarot, so too on Yom Kippur of Yovel you also have to say the same Malchuyot, Zichonot, Shofarot, same Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, V'Rosh Hashanah Tokin B'Shel Zecharim U'V'Yovlot Shel Yeilim. Rabbi Yehuda, we'll see in the Gemara, he doesn't have this tradition of the Gzeira Shava. He says the shofar blown is not the same Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Amar Rabbi Levi, mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom Kippurim b'shel kfufim. The mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is to use circular shofros v'shel kol hashanah b'pshutim. In all year, when you have fast days, you use straight shofros, less twisted. Batnan shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Yel pashut. Our Mishnah said that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is more straight. Udamaki Aitana, you're right, that's what our Mishnah said, but Rav Levi goes like a different Tana. So our Mishnah seemed to say that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's on Rosh Hashanah it's straight, and on the fast days it's twisted. And Rav Levi says the exact opposite. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur it's twisted, and on the fast days it's straight. And he's going with the opinion of the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, וראש השנה היו תוקעים בשל זכרים כפופים וביובלות בשל יעילים. So he's going with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Why did Rabbi Levi have to explain? Why didn't he just say that? Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. If he would have said that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, I would have thought by Yovel too. Ki Rabbi Yehuda svir alei holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Kamash malan. That's what he came to teach me. That on Rosh Hashanah he goes like Rabbi Yehuda, but on Yovel he doesn't go like Rabbi Yehuda. On Yovel, he does do the Gzeirah Shava and says that Yovel also has to be all twisted, just like Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yehuda said Yovel does not have to be twisted, and Rav Levi says it does.
This that Rav Levi is saying, the question is, why didn't he just say Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda?
Right.
That means that he's automatically referring to our Mishnah, and he's not just being quoted in some vacuum in some other context.
I didn't get you. We're talking about the Braisa, not the Mishnah. He's going like Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa.
The Braisa says
in Rosh Hashanah you use twisted. You're saying that's like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah.
Wait, which Braisa?
Ditanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer b'Rosh Hashanah yu tokim shel zecharin kfufin.
The Braisa, let's see. So what's the question? Why doesn't he just say the halacha is like the Braisa?
Why doesn't he just say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa? Right.
This that he's saying, he's being quoted in the context that he's quoting the halacha about in regards to which source it comes from.
Yeah,
is that true always or not?
I don't know. Sometimes you see the Gemara didn't know in what context things were said.
Right.
You see, sometimes the Gemara says, "Who is he talking about?"
So here the Gemara knows which one.
I guess, yeah. They might come if legi. What are Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama arguing about? Mal savar b'Rosh Hashanah kama dekai finish date tvei mali. One holds on Rosh Hashanah, you're davening in front of Hashem. So the more you bend down, the better. So the idea is the shofar represents our tefillah. The more bent the shofar is, the more it represents our being bent. You're commemorating the Akedah, where Yitzhak was all bent backwards, right? His hands and feet were tied together. So okay, you want a shofar that's bent. Yovel, the idea is you're freeing everyone. Everyone's clear to go. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda says by Yovel, leave it straight. So Mal Savar Rabbi Yehuda holds Rosh Hashanah kama dekai finish datei tfei mali. The more bent, the better. Uvi Yom Kippurim kama de pashit finish datei tfei mali, and on Yom Kippur the more straight, the better. Okay. Umal Savah, Rosh Hashanah, Kama de Pashit Inishtatei, Tvei Me'alei. And our Tana of the Mishnah, Tana Kama holds, on Rosh Hashanah you also straighten it out, because Rosh Hashanah represents a person extending his hand, so to speak, to the heavens, straight out. So, that's why on Rosh Hashanah you also keep it straight. Thank you. Tov. Uvtaniot kamdekai finish date tve male. And on a fast day, so then that's when you need a person to bend himself down. Tov, we saw already, were we medayikid, that Rashi holds that you do daven on Rosh Hashanah for personal things.
I remember.
You don't remember. There's a Rashi somewhere that's mashma that way. I thought we saw it. I don't know if we discussed it. Tov. I have to see. I don't know. I thought we saw Rashi that way, but here too, you see, that's the idea. That Rosh Hashanah represents requests. Say that, I don't remember where the Rashi is. Onward.
What is the reason for Rabbi Yehuda wanting him to be straight on Yom Kippur? What does that signify?
That the slaves go free, that everything goes back, like reset. Onward in the Gemara. Yeah, Bezalel. Onward.
Can you see, according to certain opinion, that Rosh Hashanah is a more painful day and Yom Kippur is a more happy day?
Well, we're equating the Yom Kippur of Yovel. So that's a happy day, sure. Economically, it's a happy day. You get your lands back. People get their freedoms back. Yeah. But every other Yom Kippur is still Yom Kippur. It's still the essence of the day is Yom Kippur. We have to wonder ideologically why the Torah wanted Yom Kippur to be the date that the slaves go free and the lands go back. Maybe it's telling us something.
When did they go free on Yom Kippur?
Of Yovel.
What time?
What time? What time of the day did Beis Din blow the shofar? So we do a zecher for it in Matzah Yom Kippur, but I don't know when the Beis Din actually blew. We'll see that later in the Masechta. I think in the morning they'd blow it. I think they'd blow it in the morning. I'm pretty sure that's what we'll see. What? No, Eved Ivri, Eved Kanani is there for life. Yes. Everything a woman does, he does. Piv mitzupe zahav. We said on Rosh Hashanah, we coat the mouthpiece of the shofar with gold. The Raisa says if you coat a shofar with gold, where your mouth is supposed to come in contact with the shofar, that disqualifies the shofar. Answers the Gemara, Shalom mimkom anachat piv kasher, Amar Abaye kitnanami matnitin, Shalom mimkom anachat petnan. Our mission also meant you coat the mouthpiece, but not where your mouth is supposed to come in contact with the shofar. Mm-hmm. When we said you coat the mouthpiece, it didn't mean that part of the mouthpiece. V'shtei chatzotzot min hatzdadin, you have two trumpets on the sides. V'trei kale mimishtamei. How are you going to have the shofar and the trumpets blowing at the same time? How could you hear two voices at the same time? V'atanya, zachov v'shamov dibur echad nimru. We know that when the Torah recounts what was said in the Ten Commandments in Yisro, it says, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos. In Vashan, it says, Shomer is Yom HaShabbos. So which one did it say? So the Braisa says, Zohar v'shamo b'dibu echad nemu. They were both said simultaneously. Masha'in ha'pe yichola ledaber. What a human mouth cannot do to say the two different words at the same time. Ve'nozni yichola lishmoa. Nor can a human hear two different things simultaneously. So, you see, you can't hear two things at the same time. You can't say and you can't hear. You have two ears, yeah, but one brain. So, how are you going to have two things blowing at the same time? How are you going to be able to hear what you have to hear? Answers the Gemara, Lechach marich b'shofar. That's really why we extend the shofar blast, because you gotta hear the shofar. Really? So then you want to tell me, if you only hear the tail end of a tekiah without the beginning, because you heard the trumpets with the beginning here. Yotze, umimela tchilat kiyah, and then We understand from that that if you hear the beginning without the end, you're also Yotze. Is that really so? Tashma. What happens if you blew? Tkia. Shvarim Trua. Tkia. Now, the final Tkia, Mashach Bashnia, the second Tkia, he extended his Tkia Kishtaim. He made a very long Tkia, and now he says, let that count as two my Tkias, the final Tkia for the first round, the first Tkia for the second round. It was doubly long. En Biadol Achat says that, no, it only counts as one Tkia, I don't care how long you extended it. Amai Tesalik Lebetaute. Why? Why don't you count it as two? If you tell me it's enough that I hear the tail end without the beginning, then it must be enough if I hear the beginning without the tail end. So now that I heard the beginning and the tail end, count it as two. Right? If you're telling me each one on its own is a kosher tkiah, it's enough you heard the first 4 seconds. Good. It's enough you heard the last 4 seconds. Good. So now that I heard 8 seconds, count the first four as the final tkiah for the previous set. Count the next four as the first tkiah for the next set. Why don't you do that? If that's really the halacha, answers the Gemara. Fast psukei tkiyata mehadade lo paskina. No, we don't sever tkiya. If it's one long tkiya, we don't come and say, well, the first half is this and the second half is that. Is it okay if you put it on the bench? Because on the mics. Tashma. Our Mishnah, if a person blows shofar into a pit, into another type of pit, dut is really when you dig like a cave, a pitas is some kind of big barrel. In kol shofar shema, if what you heard is the shofar yotza, you're yotze. In kol avara shema, but if you heard the echo, lo yotza. Amai, why aren't you yotze? Lepek b'tchilat kia mikamed le'albev kala. Why don't you say, well, when you started blowing, you heard the shofar. It's only after a few seconds that you start hearing the echo and you don't hear the shofar clearly. And if what we just said is true, that it's enough that you only hear one end of the tkia, you don't have to hear the full thing. So why not be yotze with the beginning that you heard? The answer is, you cannot hear two voices coming from one person. From two different people talking at the same time that you could hear. So here you have the shofar blowing, and next to the trumpet, you could hear both. You hear two people saying Kaddish and Shul, you could hear both. Really? Can you hear two voices from two different people? When it comes to reading the Torah, you have one person reading the Torah and one person translating. But you can't have two reading and two translating because you can't hear two people at the same time. So you see, even though it's two people, the halacha assumes you cannot follow two people simultaneously, even though the two voices are from two different people. Answers the Gemara, halodami alala seifa. No, look at the end of that Mishnah. Ba'alel uvim gila afilu asara korin. Halal and Megillah, you could have 10 people reading simultaneously and people will follow. Alma kevan de chaviv ya'iv da'atei. You see, if it's something people like a good story, if there's a storyline going on, he's talking bap, 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 you hear? And everyone's following. They're following him, they're following her, because it's interesting. If it's something you like, so then you could listen to two people simultaneously. So shofar is the same way. The reason you could have shofar and chatzotra blowing at the same time is because people are fond of the shofar, and they will focus and hear it. Ela lama marich b'shofar. So then if they're hearing it well, why do you extend the shofar blast beyond the chatzotra? You said people could follow. Fine, so let them follow. What do you need to extend the shofar for? Leidash mitzvat ayom b'shofar. You're right. The only reason we extend it is so that people will know that the mitzvah of the day is the shofar. But technically, people are following even before you extend the blast. You extend it just so that they know. So what do we see today? We saw the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. It's a machlokes, whether it was straight or twisted. The shofar of Yovel, it's a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, whether you learn Gzeirah Shavah from the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Rav Levi goes with Rabbi Yehuda to say that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is twisted, and then he leaves Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and says, but we do the Gzeirah Shavah, and then Yom Kippur is twisted as well. We said the idea behind it is that on Rosh Hashanah we should be bent over, we should have our hearts should be, so to speak, bent to the ground before our Creator, and that's the idea of having a bent shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We said that they'd coat the mouthpiece of the shofar with gold, but not where the lips came in contact with the shofar, because that would disqualify it. And we said that on Rosh Hashanah you had the shofar in the middle. We said technically if one person tells you two different things at the same time, if you hear two voices emanating from one source at the same time, you cannot follow. From two different people you can follow. By Torah we're not confident that you'll follow, but by things that you're fond of we are confident that you'll follow. Now the only question here is, once we've come up with this final solution that when it's something you're fond of, you could follow, does that mean even if the sources are emanating from one source, I mean, if the sound is emanating from one source? So it would seem not. It would seem that way we don't contradict the original Braisa that Zohar and Shamar was an impossibility. You can't say it and you can't hear it. So that way everything fits together without having any contradictions.